Well, praise the Lord for these good testimonies tonight and everything that the Lord's doing in our lives. I particularly like that one of provision, that testimony of how the Lord provided for Dawn when she needed that. He always comes through, it seems, you know. He's so faithful to us. I love it. Well, folks, at this time, let's open up our hymnals for our final hymn prior to the message, 171. 171. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. He is everything. We are nothing. He is everything. We'll stand for our final hymn, and we'll sing the first, second, and third, all three. Don't forget the hallelujah.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He all my griefs has taken,
and all my sorrows flown. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. Amen. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. In sorrow, he's my comfort. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. In sorrow, he's my comfort, in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Please be seated, church. Great singing tonight, as usual. And I particularly love that third stanza. It says, my every care on him to roll. Isn't that good? Living by faith, trusting the Lord with our every care and concern, and he's able to take care of it all. Mm-hmm. God, it's so good. Well, grab our Bibles tonight, and open up to the book of Psalms. I have actually been waiting nearly 2 weeks to preach tonight's message in the book of Psalms. That'd be Psalm 105. And the reason being, because of circumstances beyond our control, I was not able to preach this message. But I'm not letting it go. I'm going to get it out tonight. Thank you, Lord, in Psalm 105. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has timing for everything that occurs. Amen? He's always right on time. He's never late. He's never too early. But he's always right on time in everything he does because he's a perfect God that we serve. Now, folks, last week, Psalm 105, we celebrated Thanksgiving. Amen? And I had a blessed opportunity. There was a guy from India. I was riding in my Uber. I'm an Uber driver, as you know. And I was driving this fella from India, and he said to me, it was the day before Thanksgiving. He said, sir, what is Thanksgiving? Why is there Thanksgiving? What is it? What's it all about? And I had the opportunity, because we're on a half-hour drive, to tell him all about what Thanksgiving is really all about. The average American would tell them, oh, it's about turkey and eating pie, you know. And I was able to share with him how we're thankful to God for the gospel being preached and America being a Christian nation. And he's like, really? I says, really? That's what we were founded upon. And that's why the first Thanksgiving was by the Pilgrims. They were Puritans, and they celebrated the first Thanksgiving thanking God for the founding of America, a country where we can worship the Lord freely, publicly, openly, so far. And so I had the opportunity to share with him all about Thanksgiving. And I thought, how privileged are we? We're so privileged tonight, beloved, and I want to speak to you on the privileges of the believer briefly tonight. It won't be long, but the privileges of the believer, because only you and you and you and you as a true believer knows the true meaning of Thanksgiving. It's amazing how folks' mentality is all off course. They think it's just a secular holiday and it's, you know, just drink and get drunk and eat your heart out, you know. But that's not what it's all about. In Psalm 105, look with me, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. I want to speak to you from these verses tonight on the privileges of the believer. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Psalm 105. The great psalmist David, sweet psalmist of Israel, by the Holy Ghost penned these words to give thanks unto God. Lord, we're so grateful tonight that we're saved. Wretches like us, saved from sin, given the righteousness of God, the gift of eternal life. We are so privileged. And oh God, as we reflect upon Thanksgiving Day, it's a time for us as true believers to realize how privileged a people we are to be believers, to know the truth, and to have been set free. Oh, we're so grateful, Lord, that we know the true meaning of Thanksgiving. It's all about Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this message tonight to our hearts in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Beloved, I want to begin tonight by pointing out the fact that every single one of us who know Jesus Christ are privileged to be here tonight. We have the privilege of knowing God as our Father. We have the privilege of having Jesus as our Savior. We have the privilege of experiencing the Holy Spirit's leading and strength in our lives. We're a privileged people. I see a sevenfold privilege tonight from our text. In these few verses of Psalm 105, I want to call your attention, because every single believer is entitled to these seven privileges. Are you ready? Here we go. First, we have the privilege of giving thanks to God. Listen, look at verse 1. David says, oh, you know, he's excited, and he's saying, oh, he's exclaiming it loudly. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Wow, there's a message that'll preach. We've got such an unthankful society today. Have you noticed? People are ungrateful. I mean, this generation, they want everything handed to them on a silver platter. They want it now or they get mad. I mean, we're addicted today to these iPads and iPods and smartphones and whatever the gadgets. And it's ridiculous. We forget to stop and give thanks to God. The most important thing of all. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, we have a privilege as God's believing people to give thanks to him. Let me tell you something tonight, church. That world out there is not thanking God tonight. They don't want him to show up in his second advent. They don't want anything to do with him. They don't want to hear that Bible. They don't want to be in this church. Why? They're unthankful. They don't. But you, oh, I've got such good news. You're privileged. You're privileged to thank him for everything in your life. What about the bad things? That too. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks unto God. Now, the giving of thanks implies the acknowledgement of great favor bestowed. Did you catch that? You've been bestowed with great favor, divine favor. Listen, why do we have the privilege of giving thanks to Him? Because of all that He has done for us, beginning with our salvation. Right? Listen to me. Let me make a statement. If you had nothing else in this world to be thankful for, you can be thankful for your salvation because it's eternal. Amen? You may not have two nickels to rub together. You may live in a cardboard box and not have your next meal, but you can be thankful for the salvation He's provided. Folks, you're in the minority tonight. The majority of this world does not have what you have. And how we need to thank Him for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Quickly, hold your place in Psalm 105. 2 Corinthians is a verse that'll blow your socks off. I love this verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Watch it. Paul, the apostle of the apostles, chief apostle, says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look with me, church, at verse 15. What's that first word? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift of salvation. He says you can't put it in words, it's so great. You can't thank Him enough, it's so great. The first privilege of the believer I see is that we have the privilege of being thankful. Thankful. Amen? But I see another privilege. We have the privilege, secondly, of calling upon Him. Amen? We have the privilege, church, of calling upon God in time of need. Look with me at verse 1 again. Back to Psalm 105. Put your ribbon in there, and look with me in Psalm 105 at verse 1 again. We have the privilege of calling upon God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. What's the next word?
Call.
You know, we make so many calls. I got to call brother so-and-so, and I got to call in late for work, Dawn. No. We make a lot of calls, right? But the most important call that we need to make is to heaven above, to our Father. He says, call upon His name. Woo-hoo. I am so thankful tonight that I can call on my Heavenly Father in the name of His Holy Son, and He hears me every time. Isn't that a blessing? You have the privilege of prayer. The world doesn't have that. Why? They're not His kids. They're someone else's kids. You see? There's only two spiritual fathers, Satan and God. It's one or the other. There's no in between. And those whose father is Satan cannot call upon God. He will not answer their prayer until the one prayer they pray, the prayer of salvation. Then He'll answer all their prayers. Now, we have the liberty, beloved, think with me, of free access to God. And we know Him on a first name basis. Think about that one. You know God on a first name basis. His name is Jesus. And He knows you on a first name basis. You know what Jesus says to us about calling upon Him? Listen, John 14:14. Go there. Look at this verse. You got to see this. In John chapter 14, what does Jesus say about calling upon Him? Well, I love what He says because I can take it to the bank every day of my life. John chapter 14. Look with me at verse 14. Jesus says, if, notice the if of prayer. It means that some Christians won't do it. But He says, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I what? Will do it. I will do it. You know what Jesus Christ is saying right there? He's making a promise to you. That if you ask Him anything, anything according to His will, He'll do it for you and through you. What a verse. If words in red, Jesus says, call upon Me, I'll do it for you. That's the great God we serve. Like Dawn needed that cash last week to pay that bill and she didn't have it. And Jesus provided it for it when she prayed. Now, I love the fact that we have the privilege of giving thanks to Him. I love the fact that we have the privilege of calling upon Him. But thirdly, we have the privilege of working for Him. I like it. You and I have a privilege of working for God. You know that? The world won't work for God. They work for another God, small g. Okay? We don't want to talk about that. But look at verse 1 again. Psalm 105, look at verse 1 again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds amongst the people. What? Make known His deeds amongst the people. You know what David is saying there? He's saying you need to let the world know what He did for them and for you. That's what he's saying. How can we do that? By serving God. By knocking on doors, giving out these gospel tracts, telling people about Jesus, inviting them to church, telling them how to get to heaven. Amen? Oh, I love what Sister Phyllis just said. Smart. She gave a testimony. She says, every year at this time, I send out my Christmas cards. And she said, in every single Christmas card that I send out, no matter who it's to, I include a gospel tract. You know what she's doing? She's making known His deeds. Because most of the people she sends the cards to are not saved. She says, I've already gotten some phone calls, disturbed people for me putting that in there, but I've told them I'll put it again next year till you get saved. I love it. Now let me ask you a question, beloved. How can you and I make known His deeds, His works amongst the people? That's right. By working for Jesus, by serving the Lord, we make known His deeds. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, as you do it, people see God in you. They see and come to know that he is real. David is referring here to our showing His deeds. Notice that, verse 1, make known His deeds. Oh, these guys,
oh, I could preach so good, you know, and I'm just such a soldier of the Lord.
Shut up and sit down. Humble yourself. Make known His deeds. Listen, anything that gets accomplished in your life is not because of you. It's because of Him. Greater is He that is in you. He does it through you. Make known His deeds, not your own. Now, He's referring to us here of showing His deeds to the world as we busily serve Him. Go to Luke chapter 2. Jesus left us the supreme example of making known the Father's deeds. Watch it. And don't miss this. In Luke chapter 2, you all know the passage here has to do with the incarnation. It has to do with the first advent, right? And watch what the Son of God says when He's just a boy, 12 years old. After His bar mitzvah, look what He says. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, that means know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? You know what He said? He said, I got to get busy making known my Father's deeds. And didn't He do it? Oh yeah, His whole life He did it. Folks, listen to me. I want to shock you right here. Hope you got your spiritual seatbelts buckled. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 49, Jesus said, I want to go about my earthly ministry now. He was 12, folks. He would have been crucified at the age of 15. And His mother stopped Him. And because He was obedient, He said, yes, ma'am, I'll obey you and Dad. But Joseph wasn't Dad. Now, folks, you got to realize something here. Jesus Christ was so set on making His Father's deeds known to the world that He was ready to do it at 12 years of age, even if it cost Him His life on the cross. Wow! What an example He's left us! Back to our text, Psalm 105. That's what Jesus wanted to do His whole life. Make known His deeds amongst the people. That's what we're here for. This is not entertainment. This is not a social club. This is not the PTA or the WBC, whatever you call those things. This is God's business. Amen? I'm so glad that this is real service to God that we're performing. We love Jesus Christ, and we want to make Him known to a lost and dying world. But I see another privilege quickly of the believer. Fourthly, we have the privilege of singing to Him. Here's one we all really like. We have the privilege of worship. to the king. Look with me in Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. David says, not only do we need to be serving him, not only do we need to be calling upon him in prayer, but we need to be worshiping this great God that we serve. Amen? Sing. When we sing here in church, I love it. Because we're not singing to each other. We're not singing to the brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. We are singing directly to the Lord in heaven. And he hears our worship. Isn't that beautiful? We have the privilege of singing praise to our wonderful Lord. The world out there is not going to sing and praise him, folks. They don't have that privilege. Hear what I said? We're privileged people tonight. I'm going to drill it into your skull. We must make a joyful sound unto the Lord because he's done such great things for us. Say, I can't sing very good. Doesn't matter. It'll be a sweet sound in his ears. No matter how bad you may sound. My hand is up. Folks, listen. You know what they are doing in heaven right now? Go with me to Revelation chapter 14. I want to show you what they're doing. Hold your place in Psalms. What are they doing in heaven right now? Which we're going to join in on shortly. Let me show you. In Revelation chapter 14, the Apostle John has been transported to heaven by the Holy Spirit. Watch what he sees taking place in heaven. Revelation chapter 14, look with me at verse 3. He's looking in heaven, and he sees a great throne and the Lamb of God sitting. And verse 3, and they, all of heaven, sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Tribulation period preachers. Wow. Look at this in verse 3. Says, they're singing in heaven to the Lamb of God. You know what we do when we sing in church, folks? We're joining the heavenly choir. We're joining the divine chorus to the King of Kings. We're worshiping him. I am so thankful that he hears it when we do. I am so grateful for that privilege of singing to the Lord. I never had it before October 3rd in 1986, the day I got saved. And then I began to love worshiping him, singing to him with the saints. What a privilege that is. But something else, beloved, I see another privilege. And by the way, the Bible says in another place there in Revelation, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. That's what they do. They sing praise to God. And so must we, as long as we have breath to sing. Fifthly, we have the privilege of meditating upon him. You know that meditation is biblical? What? I thought that was New Age, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah, it is if you're meditating on Hare Krishna or Guru Maharishi. We're not meditating on them. We don't care about them. We're meditating upon the Son of God. And as you focus your mind on Jesus Christ, you will be transformed into his image. I guarantee it. Look with me here in Psalm 105, verse 2. Look what he says. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Now, David is saying here that what you're doing by singing to him and talking about him is your mind is focusing, that is meditating upon him. Here is the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today. God's people take their eyes off of the king and on the things of this world and on our little petty circumstances and problems, and we get defeated. See? Why? When did Peter begin to sink? When he was walking on the water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus. You got it. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to sink. We've got to meditate upon him. Now, listen. He says, meditate. Look at this. We have to meditate upon all his wondrous works, verse 2. See that? That's everything God's doing in your life. Read between the lines here, folks. Paul said, think on these things. What sort of things are true? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are right? What sort of things are good? What sort of things are just? If there be any virtue and praise, think on these things. Where do we find them? I'm so glad you asked. Right here, in the Bible. Amen? By the Holy Spirit, Paul said, think on these, meditate on these things. The Lord told his disciples when he was about to depart from this world, remember me. Meditate upon my glory in all my wondrous works. Malachi chapter 3. Oh, flip over quickly. I want you to see this. Malachi chapter 3, just before Matthew. You'll find the book of Malachi for you Italians. In Malachi chapter 3, look with me at verse, someone got it, verse 16, Malachi 3:16. Watch those 3:16s in the Bible, I told you. They're all good. 3:16, then they that feared the Lord, do you fear him tonight? That's why you're in church. Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that what? Thought upon his name. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about meditating upon Jesus. It's a good thing to meditate. The problem is what they're meditating on. If you're meditating on the right thing, the Son of God, it's a good thing. Anything else is out of bounds. Now, here we find that we as God's people have the privilege of meditating upon him. Sixthly, we have a sixth privilege of the believer. Quickly, we have the privilege of glorying in him. What's that mean? Go with me to Psalm 105 again. Look at verse 3. What's the first word?
Glory.
Glory ye in his holy name. David says here that you and I are to glory in the Lord. Not in what we're doing, not in Sister So-and-so, not in my car, not in my boat, not in my home, but glory in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to glory in his name? We know his name. Amen. He's revealed it. And the world who rejects the name above all names cannot be saved. Listen, this verse, when he says, glory ye in his name, means to delight in him, in his name. To brag about him. To truly find our deepest joy and peace and satisfaction in him, who is our life. That's glorying in him. Make him the object of your desire. And everything else will just follow suit and revolve around him. Amen? We may well glory in him who is altogether glorious. That's good. Amen? We should glory in him that is altogether glorious. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this verse quickly. In 1 Corinthians, speaking of glorying, the church at Corinth was glorying in their gifts. And Paul came along and said, hey, you guys are out of bounds. You're glorying in the wrong thing. Some of them were glorying in Paul, some Apollos, and some other Peter and other apostles. And Paul said, nope, don't glory in those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Paul says, you want to glory in something? You want to brag about something? You want to boast? Boast about him. That's right. James got his finger right up there to the Lord. Brag about him. That, you know what we folks, you know what mistake we make? We get our eyes on each other. You know what the problem is with that? We're all sinners. What? I thought you would say, Pastor, I am, but I'm a sinner. And if you get your eyes on the arm of flesh, you'll get discouraged. Because we, listen to me, we all fail. We all fail. That's why he died for us. That we could be forgiven. Amen? So, when you glory, glory in the Lord. Because there's nothing that he ever has failed at. He's perfect, eternally glorious. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I see one final privilege of the believer, and I like it. Finally, back to Psalm 105. But seventhly, we have the privilege of seeking and finding his strength. Oh, me, oh, my. Look with me here in Psalm 105 at verse 3 again. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. David says, when you seek God, and you receive his strength, you're going to know it. because it's going to be manifest in your life. Now we're getting down to practical Christianity that we all need to live day by day. And it takes strength. It takes grace. It takes power divine that only Jesus can give you. By His Holy Spirit, He will strengthen you. By His Holy Spirit and Word, He will give you victory over that besetting sin. By His strength, you will prevail. You will conquer. You will come out on top. Those who've seen His blessed face in His Son can't help but counsel others to seek it too. Listen now, His face is His favor. When you see that term in the Bible, seek His face, saying seek His favor. You know what you do when husband and wife love each other? I can do this with my wife because we do this. We can look at each other, you know, and we can kiss, and we're seeking each other. What are we doing? We're seeking the favor one of another. And that's how it is with the Lord. It's intimate. It's personal. It's wonderful. It's romantic. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to seek His face. It's worth seeking, beloved, for it is forevermore His strength. Where can we seek and find His strength, by the way? Hold your place in Psalm 105. Go to 2 Corinthians. Where can we find His strength? I'm so glad the Bible tells us exactly where it is. 2 Corinthians, go to chapter number 4. We'll finish up in 2 Corinthians, which used to be in my Bible, chapter number 4, we read, look at verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. If you want to find strength divine to get you over the hump, to get you through your own weaknesses, which we all have, we need to seek the face of Jesus Christ. Why? Look at it. Because the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is found in His face. Woo! This is good stuff. Now back to Psalm 105. We'll finish up. Back in Psalm 105, we'll finish up with verse 7. Look at it, and we'll finish up. He is, present tense, the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Beloved, I've got great news tonight. The Lord that David speaks of, He is our God. He is our Lord. And we are so privileged tonight to be His people. This Thanksgiving is a specially special one to me for the simple fact that I realize how privileged I am. In closing, let me give you this. Schofield, the great theologian, once wrote, modern scientists teach us that it is quite possible that the distant planet Saturn may be a very warm climate, while Mercury, which is very near to the Sun, is most likely a cold one. The climate depends completely upon the atmosphere of each planet. The atmosphere is a planet's capacity for receiving and retaining that heat, which is sent by the Sun. I hope someone's listening. Now listen, every man is a miniature planet in God's universe. His faith, or lack thereof, determines his capacity for receiving, or not receiving, those privileges freely given to him by God. Oh, did you hear what Schofield said? Your faith determines if you'll receive the privileges of God as His child. He may be very near in point of privilege, and yet very cold and distant in point of experience. How sad! How sad, because every one of us, as God's people, should experience these seven privileges of the believer. Schofield was simply saying that many, many Christians do not have the practical, everyday experiences of the abundant life, the many privileges that God has given them as His children. And why do so many fail to experience these divine privileges, you ask? It's because they do not take the time each day to stop and take advantage of them. It takes time. Amen? And we need that time with the Lord every day. How about you? Are you using the privileges God has given you? We have the precious privilege of giving thanks to God. We have the privilege of calling upon His name, the privilege of working for Him, the privilege of singing to Him, the privilege of meditating upon Him, the privilege of glorying in Him, and the privilege of seeking and finding His strength. Beloved, my message to you tonight, take advantage of these seven privileges of the believer, because they're for every single one of us. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the divine privileges of the believer. And how we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're not prejudiced in any way, shape, or form. You offer these seven privileges to every single child of God. Lord, it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, I want that first one, be giving you thanks. I want that second one, calling upon your name. I want that third one, singing to you. I want that sixth one, seeking and finding your strength in my life. I want it. I want it. I want it. And oh God, during this time of invitation, I pray you would deal with hearts. And whatever the need might be, whatever area we've touched on tonight, whatever the, if grace may be needed, strength may be needed, a little bit more worship may be needed, a little bit more Bible study, a little bit more prayer time, whatever it might be. I thank you, Lord, that this altar is open in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals for a short invitation tonight. And let's open up our hymnals, that is, to 231. A great, great invitation hymn, 231, because it speaks about how much you and I need Him. Amen? I'm so glad I realized that so long ago. I need Him. I can't do it without Him, and neither can you. 231, I need Thee every hour. We'll sing 231, the first, third, and fourth. Altar is open if you need.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Listen.
Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Doc would say, what a blessing it is to be in God's house with y'all today and tonight. It has been good to be in the house of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. We're blessed when we get together. We feel His presence in our midst and the love that He emits to each and every one of us. What a privilege. What a I forgot to mention that one. Privilege of church. It is a privilege. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful I'm not on some sick bed in a hospital, restrained from coming. Amen? So many things to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Father, thank you so much for the good altar call tonight. And Lord, dealing with hearts and souls. And thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us, Holy Spirit, from your word about the precious privileges that we possess as your children. Lord, help each and every one of us, starting with me, to utilize these divine privileges each and every day. Because, Lord, our time here is only temporal. The day cometh when no man worketh. And Lord, we know your coming is imminent. That trumpet could blow before I finish this prayer. Lord, that excites us. But at the same time, we want to be ready, Lord. We want to hear those words one day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And oh Lord, we thank you that through Jesus Christ we can. We thank you for that strength that we find in your face. I love that wording, Lord. It's wonderful. That's the place you find it, in the face of Jesus. Some people don't like that, but oh God, that's the only way. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we praise you tonight for a great day of worship. And Lord, we ask that you would use this message tonight to encourage the faithful around the world, that they might be using the privileges you've given, that you've bestowed. Well, thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do in your mighty deeds. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. The people said, amen.
Amen.
Wednesday night, church, 7 o'clock if able.